Acts 18, you got it? So we're talking about Paul. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And the problem that they were having and the reason for the expulsion was that you had Christian Jews and non-Christian Jews always in debate. And he said, we don't need this. Y'all just leave. And so that's really what it came down to. Now, the order that he said was because they were, you know, rioting. But, you know, that's what we see a lot of times. We can have a regular discussion, but sometimes the emotions get so high and people get so furious. You ever been furious? And with things that matter to us, that people don't want to be around that. And so he came to them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, or he worked with them, for by occupation they were tent makers, leather workers. And that's what he did. So it's natural for him to go to someone that he could have a lot in common with. Isn't that natural for us? We want to get around people that can talk about the same things and enjoy the same things. We've got to get beyond that, but that's where we start. We start with people that are like us. And he reasoned, look at what it says in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So this was his strategy. I mean, it's not that he planned it out, but this was the action he took. He worked with Aquila and Priscilla. And then on Saturday, the Sabbath day, he'd go to the synagogue. And at the synagogue, he would talk, he would teach, he would have conversations with people. And that's an effective way of ministering. Just to have, didn't say debated, right? He just talked to them. And it says that he persuaded many people. You know, the methods that we use matter. I see a lot of different methods, and over the years have used a lot of different methods to try to reach people with the gospel. Some are more provocative, more confrontational. I've never been one that went to that street preaching. I'm not opposed to street preaching, but I find that most street preachers are just provocative. They're out there to, you know, confront people. And so that just really doesn't fit with my method of ministry. Now, so Paul went into the synagogues. He was polite. He was a Jew. He was a very educated Jew. Man, he knew what they were talking about. He understood all of that stuff. And so he could speak to them on their level, with the very highest level. And so they saw that he was educated. They saw that he was wise in their teachings. And so they appreciated his conversation. But what he would do, you know, when we teach the Old Testament, we know that every verse of the Bible is pointing to Jesus. Every book of the Bible is pointing to Jesus. In fact, Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Maybe not by name. Maybe not in his person. But in his qualities, in his standards, in his principles, in his teachings, he's there all the way through it. And so he was able to help them and just kind of nudge them along. Y'all have anybody in your life that you're trying to nudge along in their faith? And just trying to get them to learn. But not just, you know, pounding on the pulpit and, you know, raising the Bible in the fist and stomping on the floor. Just having a conversation. There are a lot of people who will be reached by that. And there are some people who will not be reached by that. In fact, the book of Jude, and I just thought of this, so I'll turn over there because I don't want to misquote it. But he said, some have compassion and make a difference. So some people, with your love, with your compassion, you can make a difference. But he says this, and others save with fear. The only way they're going to get saved is if hell is hot. The only way they're going to come to Jesus is when they realize the consequence for rejecting Jesus is eternal flames in the lake of fire. And that's the only way they're going to get saved. Look what it says. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So there's some who will be saved, by a compassionate message, and some by a very visual, very emotional, confrontational message. So Paul's working with these. Every Saturday he goes in there. They're friendly. They're having conversations. He's not only teaching and having the and listening, and he's just part of the crowd. He's not a teacher, just part of the crowd. But people are listening, and people are getting saved. And then in verse 5, Silas and Timotheus come from Macedonia, and Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. His attitude changed. His method changed. Now, I don't know. Look, I'm not going to criticize Paul here, but something changed when he had backup, didn't it? How many of y'all would change when you have backup? Right? And anybody can be strong behind a keyboard, right? But once they get face to face, they're not going to say anything until they have backup. And once backup shows up, it's on. And Paul was just having conversation, reasoning and persuading. People were getting saved, and it was all going fine. And then Timothy and Silas show up, and Paul just, it says he was pressed in the spirit. He felt like this was the chance. This was the time. That if he didn't do it now, it wasn't going to happen. And so he cut out all of the calm, beating around the bush, you know, trying to lead them along. He cut to the chase and he said, guys, Jesus is the one that the Old Testament is talking about. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the one promised. He is the one sent. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, how do you think that went over in a Jewish synagogue? Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. You're right. That's how it went over. Look at verse 6. They opposed themselves and blasphemed. Well, they got hot. They started cussing and cursing and bad things about God and bad things about Paul. And it says they opposed themselves. Guys, that's what we have to understand. When we try to reach people with the gospel, when they reject Jesus, they pay the price. They pay the price. This is about their souls. This is about their eternity. When we're trying to reach people for Jesus, we're trying to save them from the fire. But they don't always understand that. And so we try and we lead them along and we nudge them and we drop little hints and we say little things and we try to just boost them along because we might know that their predisposition is they don't want to be a Christian. They don't like church. They don't like the Bible. They don't believe in God. And so we just kind of nudge them. But when Silas and Timothy got there, Paul was done nudging. And he said, guys, I'm telling you, Jesus is the Christ. They went crazy. And then Paul went crazy. Paul shook his raiment, shook himself up. He said, it's on you. I'm done. I did what I had to do. Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. You see that? He just wiped himself. Jesus said, when you leave the place, if they haven't received your message, dust your feet off. Paul shook everything. He said, I'm done. Now remember, this is Paul who insisted on going to Jerusalem to reach his own people, the Jews, even though Agabus the prophet said, when you get there, you're going to be bound up. When you get there, your travel is going to be restricted. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to meet trouble. Paul said, I don't care. The people cried and wept and said, please don't go. Paul said, stop it. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm going. That's the same Paul. But in a synagogue in Corinth, which, by the way, when we consider Corinth, Corinth is a very liberal metropolitan area. Corinth is a market area. You know, there's a lot of money there. There's a lot of people there, a lot of different cultures. So it wasn't just Greeks, and it wasn't just Jews. It was Greeks and Jews and Asians and Africans and everybody. Everybody came to that place. And you had the Temple of Aphrodite and all kind of lewdness, sexual sin. I mean, it was, when you look at many cities in America today and around the world, and it's like Corinth. And here was Paul trying to preach Jesus in that town. Why? Guys, you tell me where's a better place to go than where there's sinners. You know, I first went to Fort Lauderdale to pastor down there, and I saw how, you know, bars on windows was unlike anything I'd ever seen back then. And I said, Lord, there's just sinners here. And he spoke to my heart. He said, why do you think you're here? And I said, okay, I got you. I'm good. But that's the point, guys. We are here to reach the lost. We are here to reach those who don't believe. If we spend all of our time with believers, with all of our time talking to believers about what we both believe, what's the point? We have got to get out into the world, talk to people who do not believe, and nudge them along, tell them about Jesus. But Paul here, he felt pressed. He felt pressured. Here are my guys. I've been trying to reach people, and people were being saved. But when he went to the synagogue, he just felt like he was spinning his wheels. So he shook himself off. He said, your blood is on your own heads. I've done my work. I've preached the gospel. The monkey's off my back. I did my job. Now, let me ask you something. Is that what you say to your loved ones? How many of you got people that you love that you want to go to heaven that are not born again? We want them to go. So what do? We nudge them along. And every once in a while, we'll just be bold and say, look, you got to trust Jesus. If you don't put your faith in Jesus, you're not going. I don't want to talk about that, right? Y'all get that response like I do? I don't want to talk about it. You know how I feel about it. I don't want to talk about dying. A lot of people don't want to talk about dying. You know why? Because they're afraid of it. Those two that we mentioned that died today, both of them are believers. Both of them went to heaven. And so, look, I know that there's a vacuum. I know that something's going to be missing from the future because they're gone. But I know they're better off because they went to heaven. And so we nudge them along, try to reach them. And then every once in a while we're bold and they push themselves away. What are they doing? Just exactly what verse 6 says. They're opposing themselves. He said, I'm done with you Jews. I'm going to the Gentiles. Right? What he said in verse 6. I'm done with the synagogue. I'm not coming back here next Saturday. I'll go out there and reach the other people, the Gentiles. And he departed. He left. But where did he go? Right next door. He went right next door. He departed thence, verse 7, and he entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. I mean, he shared a wall. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Just look, Paul's done, right? I'm done preaching to Jews. I'm not coming back to the synagogue. The chief of the synagogue follows him to Justus' house and gets saved. Isn't that great? Man, just when we get frustrated, would you say what we just saw there, verse number 5, or verse number 6, would you say that Paul was frustrated? Have you ever been frustrated trying to share the gospel? Trying to reach somebody, trying to show them the way to heaven? And get frustrated. Paul didn't just get frustrated, he had a fit. And he was done. I won't come back. And Crispus follows him over there. Get saved, all of his family get saved, and they get baptized, verse number 8. Made a public commitment. Here's the chief of the Jews, chief of the synagogue. Man, if you can get the preacher saved, that'll help your church. I've heard that before, haven't you? But I mean, if you can get the chief of the synagogue saved, what do you think that did to the synagogue? This is somebody they respected. This is somebody they revered. Somebody they looked up to. And now he has put his faith in Christ. Didn't just get saved like Nicodemus on the back alley at night. Master, I come to you at night. I got some questions about what you're teaching. Jesus says you must be born again. He says, I don't understand. Jesus explains it farther. Or we get that rich verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That came from the run-in at night in the alley with Nicodemus. Why didn't Nicodemus come during the day? Because he was a ruler in the temple. Because he had position, he had prominence. And man, what would all of his peers think? And what would all of his disciples think? But we see later, Nicodemus got saved. So did Crispus. What's the point? The point is that just when Paul was going to give up, God showed up. By the way, God had been there all the time. But how many of you have ever thought about giving up on anything? Paul said, I'm done. I'm not preaching to Jews anymore. Why? Because everywhere he went and preached to Jews, there was a riot.
Man, they tried to kill him. They put him in a basket and let him down over the wall because there were some people that said, we're going to kill him, and we're not going to eat till we kill him. Remember that? I don't know how long they waited, but Paul got away. They didn't kill him. Just when he was going to give up, he got frustrated to the point of quitting. And many got saved. Look, let's read it again. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Why do you think that is? I'll tell you something. Sometimes a preacher, a pastor, a boss, I mean, you ever run across this at a job where somebody works and they don't say anything, they just do their job, and finally they've had it and they tell everything they wanted to say all those 20 years. I'll tell you what I think of this place. And you know what they've been needing to hear in that synagogue? That's what they've been needing to hear. Paul was trying to nudge them. Paul was trying to just boost them along. People were getting saved. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you, sometimes we're so afraid that people will get offended, we don't tell them what they need to hear. How many of us are guilty of that? People need to hear the truth. They need to hear the plain truth. But Paul wouldn't tell them. When he had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost with him, when Timothy and Silas showed up, he did it. And he reached the ones that could reach the others. And then Paul, of course, he's done. I'm done. I'm out of here. Then that night, the Lord spoke to Paul by a vision, verse 9, and he said, be not afraid, but speak. Preach. Don't hold back. He said, Paul, the problem with you is you've been dancing around the issue. You've been trying not to offend anybody. We had a pastor one time that he had decided he was going to leave, but he wasn't going to leave for like a month or two. Boy, those 2 months were some of the best preaching I ever heard. You know why? Because he wasn't afraid of anybody anymore. He wasn't holding on. He wasn't afraid to get fired because he's leaving anyway. And so he laid it out. He put it down. Jesus says, be not afraid. Speak, hold not thy peace. Verse 10, for I am with thee. He didn't say because Silas and Timothy are here now. You don't have anything to worry about. They got your back. No, he said, because I'm here. And by the way, Paul, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city. He said, Paul, you've been pretending like you're the only one here. He said, I got lots of people that are saved around here. Had the same conversation with Elijah, didn't he? I'm the only one. God said, you're not the only one. I got others. We are hiding in our caves, in our churches, in our prayer closets because we think the world has turned against Christianity and against the church. And God says, preach. Hold not thy peace. I have much people in this city. Guys, we cannot be afraid to share our faith. We cannot dance around. By the way, we can't afford to put it off because people die every day. And they need Jesus now. They need to get saved while there's time. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Verse number 11, Paul said, no, Lord, I'm out of here. I quit. I told them I was done. I'm done. No. He stayed another 18 months. He stayed on. Because now he had found the secret to minister in that city. Not holding back, not hiding, but preaching. And he stayed for 18 months. Now, did he have trouble? Yeah, that's what the rest of the chapter is about. Verse number 12, Gallio was the deputy of Achaia. The Jews made insurrection with one accord. I mean, they got together and they were like a mob. They went up there and said, we got to get Paul. And they took Paul before the judgment seat. And they said in verse 13, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Let me remind you where they are. They're in Corinth. Abortion to them was a right. Sex in the streets was a right. Homosexuality was a right. Identifying however you want to identify was a right. Guys, they didn't like this idea of having rules. They didn't like this idea of having boundaries. They wanted to live free and free love and all that kind of stuff. Just like today, right? That's what they wanted. And here comes this guy, and he persuadeth men contrary to the law. We got rules in this town. It's incredible to me how people want to follow the law. I'm a law-abiding citizen. But I'll tell you something. When the law goes against liberty, I'm against that law. And I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm telling you, in this country, we've got to prepare because they're trying to take away your rights and my rights. Does that have anything to do with the church? Well, it has to do with my responsibility as a husband and a father. Make everything legal, everything accepted. Everybody's got to do it. Everybody ought to do it. That's the kind of town Corinth was. And they didn't like it, so they pulled Paul up there before the judge. You know what the judge said? This doesn't have anything to do with us. This has no place in courts. That's religion. Look at what he says. Verse 14, when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness. Did y'all read what I just read? In a city like Corinth, he said if it was wicked lewdness in a city that was known for wicked lewdness. If it was something like that, oh, you Jews, reason that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, look you to it. I'll be no judge of such matters. Get out of here. That's verse 16 in the Pahokee translation. He drove them away from the judgment seat. You see? Look at what it says. The last part of verse 17. And Gallio cared for none of those things. He said, y'all are talking religion, and religion has no place in my court. God told Paul, Paul, you preach. Don't hold back. Preach. No one's going to lay a hand on you. I have much people in this city. Here comes this judge who you would think was opposed to everything Paul stands for, right? He says, y'all leave him alone. Get out of here. I don't care about anything y'all have told me. Why? Because God said, Paul, nobody's going to touch you. You preach. You preach. Don't dance around it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Some, having compassion, making a difference. Others, save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Guys, we've got to preach the word. And it's going to offend some people. By the way, it'll even offend church members. Oh, well. It's all right. All I can say is you need to get right. That's all I can say. You get right, and we'll get along. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word, for your truth. Oh, we thank you for this. Oh, we can so relate to. Because we do with the seeming oppression on the church and persecution and political correctness of the day, and you can't say certain things. God, it feels like we're in a battle, but you told us to speak and not hold peace, to preach. Why? Because souls are at stake. Eternity is at stake. God, help us to follow you. Better to obey you than man. Forgive our sins. Make us useful. Dismiss us with your blessing. Bring us back at the next appointed time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.